This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joysters, welcome to Joy's very own show about pets. Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. My name's Kevin, and joining me in the studio is Dr. Alan Bolton, senior veterinarian at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. Alan, thanks for joining me on Pets Allowed.
Hello.
How are you going?
Good, good. I always like being here because it means it's Friday afternoon.
It does mean it's Friday afternoon, and we've got plenty to take you through. Now, our pets play a significant role in our lives, so it's only natural more and more of us are including our furry friends in special occasions.
Pets can also play a significant role in family events, including birthdays, homecomings, and sometimes they help us pull through more sad events.
Now, Alan, have you sort of been to any special events lately that there's been dogs or cats or anything involved?
I haven't really. I suppose birthday parties. It was Manuel's mum's 70th birthday a few weeks ago, and there were dogs and cats everywhere.
There were dogs and cats everywhere. Well, that's good.
And they all behaved themselves, which was really good.
It is good when they do behave themselves.
And no one fed them anything they shouldn't.
Excellent.
We all came home in one piece. Always good.
That is very good. I've been to a couple of doggy birthday parties, doggy Halloween a friend had recently. Just even parties when I have them at home, obviously the dogs feature in that. Look, today on the program, we're going to be joined by a special guest, Alan, in a little bit.
That's right, Reverend Joy, who also hosts the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and she will help us delve into this conversation a bit further.
But also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
it's that time of the year when planning for festive events is well underway, but what will Felix and Fido be doing? Listen up as we run through some useful points you should consider to factor your pets into events just around the corner.
Food is the soul of every party, so take out your notepads as we're going to be featuring a couple of easy pet-friendly treats.
And we will cross live to Oz in the Melbourne CBD, who will be announcing a very special Lost Dogs Home event making a return. Office workers, pay close attention.
And of course, we'll have all your favourite Pets Allowed segments, including our Q&A with Dr. Alan whilst he's here. Stick around, we have the latest on the Lost Dogs Home in our news wrap.
The Pets Allowed news wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look and see what's been happening this week with the Lost Dogs Home. Now, on our website, you might see a lovely story about the gorgeous Winter. Despite her name, Winter is a delightfully happy one-year-old Staffy and Dalmatian mix. She has shone rays of love and warmth on her adopted family ever since she was adopted from our Chuka shelter in March this year. She wasn't the first to be adopted into her family because they had adopted before. They had a lovely liver-spotted Dalmatian who was with their family for 15 years.
Which is a long time.
It is a long time. Now, they said goodbye to Watson a few years ago and had only recently felt ready to consider opening their hearts to a shelter animal again. Gil actually wrote into us, and you can catch that letter on our website at dogshome.com. Now, Alan, we also saw in the latest Big Issue a lovely...
Right. This is a really lovely story. So a whole lot of Big Issue vendors and their friends have written about their animals. And Robert, who sells a Big Issue at Meyer on Burke Street Mall, he writes about he says the best dog he ever had was Jake. He got him from the Lost Dogs Home. He was a German Shepherd cross Doberman. Right from the very beginning, he followed him everywhere. He learned really quickly. Robert's actually in a wheelchair, and Jake would jump up in the wheelchair with his paws on his knees so that he could put his lead on him, and they went everywhere together. And very sadly, Jake did get old and pass away, but they were the best of friends.
They were the best of friends, and that lovely story, yes, is in the Big Issue. And this is a bit of a unique call out that we've seen during the week, is that there's a new podcast that is wanting to chat with cat lovers. It's a Cat Lady podcast featuring interviews with cat loving public figures and not so public figures. I mean, really, who doesn't want to listen to two people chat about cats for about half an hour? So they want to speak to people from all walks of life who love cats. The interviews will be approximately 30 minutes and will be conducted via phone or Skype. And the start of the end of the interview, you're welcome to promote yourself as well. So if you have anything that you want to talk about, about, but they just mostly want you to talk about cats. Their website is catladypodcast.com. Now, every week on Pets Allowed, we love to feature a dog or cat in our very special...
This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, this week we have a gorgeous Jack Russell Terrier cross named Buckley, Alan.
That's right. Buckley, he likes to strut about like a tough little guy, but really he's a smooch. Loves nothing better than to cuddle up on a lap. He is suited to an adult-only home and would prefer to be an only dog, or perhaps he might settle in with a well-mannered small dog as a companion. He's very quick to learn. He's been through finishing school, and he's mastered basic obedience, and he really, really enjoys learning. He really wants to please. He walks nicely on a leash, and he enjoys going for walks.
Yeah, met Buckley yesterday, actually, when we were doing a bit of a photo shoot for our finishing school program. He's a lovely little dog. He's about 4 years old. He's really cute. He's got these really big ears and bright eyes when he looks at you, but super attentive as well. So, you know, he
wants to learn.
He wants to learn, yeah, absolutely, and he loves food. So he's very much treat motivated as well, which is great.
But like a lot of Jack Russells, he's not hugely keen on other dogs.
Yeah, he's a bit
wary. Taken slowly with them.
Yeah, that's right. You just need to make sure that you're monitoring his behavior and that he doesn't get too close to other dogs, because he might get a bit uncomfortable around them. Now, he is at our North Melbourne shelter, Alan.
And his ID number is 937580. So that's Buckley. You can contact the North Melbourne Shelter on 9329 2755, or you can see him online at dogshome.com.
Yeah, or you can visit him in person, even if you want to come down to the shelter and meet Buckley. Now, coming up on the program today, we are talking all about celebrating with your pets. So special occasions, birthdays, parties, Christmas parties, weddings, everything and the like. Coming up, we are going to be chatting with Reverend Joy Etwell from the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. She's going to be having a chat with us about her experiences. We'll be talking a bit about how to settle your pet into these things to make sure it's a good, positive experience for them. And we've also got some recipes from Diamond Dog Food and Bakery.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Allowed every Fridays from noon.
It only takes a quick online search to see that pets' special occasions, especially weddings, are fast becoming a thing, Alan.
From pet owls flying in rings through to pooches wearing tuxes and mini blackboards with messages of love, family members of the non-human variety are fast emerging as important names on the guest list to special occasions.
While it's easy to get carried away, it can be said that there is a greater meaning why we want to include our best friends there. Now, to shed some light on this is someone who's seen a few ceremonies in her time, the lovely Reverend Joy Etwell from Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, which is on every Thursday from 8 p.m. Welcome to Pets Allowed.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the program today.
Not a problem.
So, having conducted gay ceremonies for several years and more recently becoming a marriage celebrant, you've shared the special days of many couples. Are you noticing more and more pets making an appearance?
I think, yes, that people do want their pets to be involved in the day. Of course, there is still a limit depending on the venue that they choose, whether pets can attend or not. Mm-hmm. But I did a church service and I had no problem allowing pets into church. Well, why not? We used to actually have someone that used to bring their pet every Sunday to church.
Gosh.
And it was well behaved. Occasionally it would bark, but I thought it was agreeing with me, so that was fine.
That's great.
Just barking in agreeance, that's right. And I mean, a lot of churches do the blessing of the animals as well.
Yeah, that's quite popular now, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want a horse in church. It's probably not quite.
Might be an interesting one. Was it a dog that you used to see? Yeah, obviously it's barking, I should say. It's a dog. Now, we hear that you have a wedding coming up with the couple's dog named Sonic appearing at the ceremony as the ring bearer. Have you spoken to them about sort of why they've chosen him?
Well, it's the bride's dog, and the ceremony's actually on the farm where the dog lives.
Yeah.
And they're really keen for the dog to be involved, because it's really special to her. I'm told it's really well behaved. I'm hoping.
You kind of hope it would be really.
Because it's going to carry the rings.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't want those getting lost.
No, I heard a story about a dog and the rings came off.
Yeah.
And the dog ate them.
Oh, no.
But you know, that was exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah. The dog just gobbled them, and so of course they had to wait for a fair while because they could exchange rings.
Oh no! Have you? You haven't had any of that happen yourself?
Not yet.
Not yet. But you never know.
Exactly.
So why do you think more and more couples are actually thinking of including their pets in these kind of special occasions and ceremonies?
Well, I think more and more, especially for those of us who don't actually have children, may never have children, our pets are like our kids, aren't they?
Yeah.
And if we have a special ceremony, we want them to be involved. So why not? Mm. I mean, I think there's a few things that you need to do if you're going to have your pet involved, such as if it's not used to the environment, making sure...
Yeah,
that you take it to the environment
beforehand.
Like, yeah, like we're having a rehearsal, and I said, "Well, the dog will be there, won't it? So yeah, that we can go through what it needs to do." And
do you have to plan in extra rehearsals and training? Not quite.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, usually they sort of get the first go, and they're right. Yeah, okay. I mean, for myself, I'm engaged, and we're having an engagement party next weekend, and it was about choosing somewhere where we're going to be able to take the dog, dogs, I should say. I don't just have one. So are you finding that more and more people are sort of going, okay, let's have more outdoorsy weddings and farm weddings and that kind of thing because they want to include their pets?
I think it's becoming popular anyway as people move away from actually having church weddings.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it does allow people to bring their animals or have their animals there and to have them as part of it. And I think it's great.
Do you find that it kind of brings the whole feeling, sort of makes it a bit more relaxed and a little bit comical sometimes with the pets there?
Yeah, especially if they say something during the service. That always brings a laugh and you can sort of play on that a bit, and it sort of does take the tension away because most people on their special day are pretty
stressed
tense.
Out, yeah.
Pretty stressed about it all. So, yeah, I think it does help. Mm. Mind you, you've got to be a bit careful. I heard about this bride who rode her horse down the aisle and unfortunately they'd also decided to have bagpipes. And, of course, the horse was spooked. Oh, and it got the bride down the aisle but dumped her.
Oh, no.
So if you're going to include your pets, you really need to think about what you're doing. And,
yeah.
And the
planning
reaction
ahead
of the
key.
Yeah, the reaction of the pet that might, what they might have, especially if, like, the horse apparently had never been around bagpipes. And, yeah.
The minute you
like
said
it.
That, I was just thinking this sounds like trouble.
Yeah.
Not a good mix. Do you have any specific sort of funny or interesting memories of a pet inclusive ceremony?
I remember doing, I mean, it wasn't pets, it was actually doves, but we were doing this big ceremony and we had to release the doves at a certain time and it was a hot day. And do you think they wanted to go anywhere?
Of course
no.
not.
And it was meant to be this wonderful finale where all the doves flew off and about three of them went.
And then the rest just sat there.
Yeah. They weren't going anywhere.
It's funny, isn't it? What is it they say about
never work with children or animals.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find it's more of a trend towards dogs, or have you seen some more people going with their cats, or you've obviously seen a couple of horses? Or
yeah, the only ceremonies I've been involved in with animals was dogs, but I heard of someone who, instead of carrying a bouquet, carried a basket with their rabbit in it.
I think I saw pictures of that
aisle,
one, yeah.
You know, and it was like, well, yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
As long as the rabbit's happy to sit in the basket.
I'm pretty sure I've seen some snakes and that, those kind of unusual pets as well.
I'm not asked to do any weddings with snakes. No. I don't like them.
No, that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
No, I'm not sure I could do that.
Well, look, thank you so much for joining us on Pets Allowed. It's been great to chat to you about your experiences with animals in ceremonies and celebrating and that kind of stuff. And hopefully, yeah, we'll get you back on the program again to talk more about all this kind of stuff.
Thank you.
So remember, Spirit Lounge is on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
So, Kev, the show today is quite relevant for you with your engagement coming up soon. What have you had to factor in when planning for the event to include Cinder and Sprocket?
I guess the first thing was choosing a location where the pets were going to be able to come. I mean, we were, you know, thinking about planning our engagement party, and it was like, well, we could have a party at night time, but we'd need to go somewhere where we could actually take the pets, or, you know, we could have something. And then we decided on a picnic during the day, because then it's at a park, we can take the dogs with us, and yeah, we've got all that kind of thing. So it just meant that we could be inclusive, because a lot of our friends obviously and family know about the pets and they love them, so they want to be there when they're there, so they want to help us celebrate with them. So obviously there are a lot of different things to consider, and yes, that first one is quite important, obviously choosing an appropriate location, but also not jeopardizing safety for style. So if you're planning on dressing your pooch maybe in a tux, make sure it actually fits them properly. Simple is better, even just like a little bow tie, a flower attached to the collar, because that way they're not going to be uncomfortable and sort of trying to roll around getting it off whilst you're there. Ensure that any accessories won't come loose and pose a choking hazard, or like Joy was saying, watch out that the rings don't fall off and then the dog can eat the rings. And make sure that any flowers or plants used at the wedding or party or whatever it is aren't actually toxic. And one last thing is as well is the weather, because you know you don't want it to be overly hot for them, because otherwise you're going to need to make sure they're having plenty of shade, plenty of areas to go to, that kind of thing. And obviously, if it's wet and stormy and miserable, your dog is going to be miserable as well.
Everyone's going to be miserable.
Everybody's going to be miserable, but you don't want your pet being miserable too.
I guess another thing is, if you're going to be really involved in the proceedings, you're not going to be able to look after your dog properly.
Well, look,
you're going to be a bit distracted.
Yeah, I think that's important for pretty much everything, because, like, especially if you're getting married, you know, you're not going to be able to be looking after your pet too much. So you're going to want someone who knows your pet well, and that your pet knows well, so that they're comfortable with them.
So, yeah, so you're going to have to think about a pet sitter, and I guess call on a family member or friend who knows your pet well, like you say, and take responsibility for them during the day.
And as Joy said as well, another thing is factoring in that your pet may need some time to adjust to the location that you're at, because it's somewhere they haven't been before. There's obviously going to be a lot of smells and everything like that. So having your pet sitter there too, and also because there's going to be a lot of people around, they can sort of walk them away if they're getting a bit stressed. But
somewhere
also
for them to get away to. Great training.
Somewhere quiet for them to stay if there's a lull or if there's a bit too much going on. And just making sure that they sort of get comfortable. So you're take them to the rehearsal as well, walk them around the area if you can. Same with sort of if you're having a party out somewhere like an engagement party, just taking them to location first just to make sure that they're comfortable. And Alan, it's quite important to make sure that they're actually allowed to be there.
That's right. When with everything else on your to-do list, it's easy to forget this simple yet important step. You don't want to show up on the day of your wedding, four-legged ring bearer in tow, only to be told that he needs to get off the property. So if you can't bring your pet, you can still include them in the photographs, but make sure beforehand.
Now, one other thing is to make sure that the people coming to your wedding are aware that your pet is going to be there, because obviously you love them. You know, they're the best thing in your life, but they might not be. There might be some people who aren't comfortable with dogs or cats or snakes or horses, and you need to be considerate of that as well. But just even letting them know how long that the pet's going to be there for, that they're going to be in the ceremony, they're going to be in the party. It's also important information for parents with children too, because often you know, children might be scared or they might be a bit overly confident with pets and that kind of stuff. And in obviously with your pet being in a different environment, like a wedding with lots of people around, they could get a bit stressed. So don't want any incidents to happen. Now, Alan, thinking about coming into this sort of Christmas period and New Year's Eve period, there's obviously going to be a lot going on in terms of parties and all that kind of stuff. What about the festive season? So should we take things into account when people are coming over?
I think the main things are probably with Christmas are food and decorations. So you really don't want your pet eating lots of things they shouldn't do. And that includes both food and things that they might decide are toys that aren't really toys.
So don't let your pet copy you in terms of eating things that you shouldn't.
Yeah, and don't let people feed. You know, make sure that people know what they can and can't feed your pet. and keep dangerous things like tinsel and toys out of the way.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing because, I mean, a lot of cats as well will get up in the Christmas tree and eat some tinsel, and there can only be some tragedy from that, unfortunately. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to be considered. And also just making sure that people are aware that your pet's around so that they're not letting them outside or they're not letting them inside or out the front door, and that their microchip details and contact details are up to date just in case something does happen because, it can. It's a thing. Things do happen.
And I suppose then there's surprise parties.
Yeah, look, surprise parties for your pets can be a bit
it's not really a good idea.
Look, and we often see sort of surprises for even for the pets, like when, say, a soldier comes home from war, that kind of thing, when you see that online, or people coming home from a holiday. Surprises, like massive surprises, can be a bit of a shock for your pets, so for your dogs, for your cats. And, there is that video that's gone around where the dog basically passes out.
I haven't seen that.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, it's a dog, its family comes home from something and the dog gets too overexcited that it passes out. Now, they obviously went to the vet after that and checked out what was going on. It was just a condition that it just, because its heart rate went all the way up, it passed out. So that's something to consider, is that your pet might get a bit too excited. I've seen it, whenever I've come home from holidays, that kind of stuff. But just, if you are having a surprise party for someone and there's like 30 people that are going to yell out surprise, don't have the pets in the room at the time, because they're going to go a bit nuts, is the easiest way of putting that. Coming up, we are looking at ways to get your pets involved in the party festivities. And as Alan was mentioning before about thinking about food and that kind of stuff, why not make your pet some treats that they can enjoy on the day? Now, look, food is the soul of every party, so we wanted to share with you a couple of pet-friendly recipes your dog will enjoy. These are from Diamond Dog Food and Bakery. And the first one, Alan, is... Well, these first two are from Diamond Dog Food and Bakery. This one is for a doggy-friendly ice cream.
That's right. So it's 100 grams of low-fat plain yogurt, one mashed banana, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, and 2 tablespoons of honey. And you basically just mix it all together in your blender, put it into little cupcake molds, freeze, and serve.
Now, look, Alan, yogurt is actually okay for dogs, considering milk isn't.
Well, probably, I think...
In small quantities.
I think small quantities, and I think you'd have to see how they react to it. So yogurt's probably slightly healthier, but it's a really individual thing. So some dogs will be able to digest it and others won't. So, again, you need to try small quantities, not overdo it. And it's kind of more fun. It's for fun. It's not nutrition.
That's right. You're only doing it sort of once in a couple of months. Just one other thing with that one is honey for puppies is really not recommended because honey can grow sort of bacteria and life cultures that they're not quite used to yet. And their bodies aren't ready for. So just make sure that you are sort of just feeding that for dogs over sort of a year and a half old. Next one is some carob chip cookies. This is also from Doggylicious, a cookbook by Diamond Dog Food and Bakery. The ingredients are 2 cups of plain or wholemeal flour, 1/4 cup of chopped carob buttons, 3 tablespoons of canola oil, 3/4 cup of water, and 2 tablespoons of chia seeds. Now, you cook these in an oven at 180 degrees, and mix all of the ingredients together, roll them out, cut into some shapes, bake them in the oven for about 20 minutes and remove them and let them cool. And storing them, you can store them up to 2 months in an airtight container and your dog will absolutely love them. Now, Alan, what about if it's your dog's birthday and you wanted to make them a birthday cake?
This sounds like a huge birthday cake. It's a beef and bacon birthday cake dog treat recipe. So it's 3 pounds of extra lean ground beef, 3 strips of lean bacon, 2 eggs, 1.5 cups of breadcrumbs, and 1 cup of shredded carrot. And you basically combine it all together, mix it well. If it's a bit dry, you can add some water. Fry the bacon, take the fat off. Again, mix it all through. Mold it into a round cake shape and bake it in a covered baking dish at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, that would be. So this is
Fahrenheit.
For an hour and a half. And then you can make sort of frosting.
Frosting with some potatoes.
Potatoes maybe? Or cream cheese. And yes, there you go.
And these are doggy-friendly birthday cake. Now, we will hopefully put these recipes up on our Facebook or website just so you can catch those as well. Coming up, we're going to be chatting with Oz, who is currently out somewhere in the CBD to tell us all about a very special event coming up soon.
Pets Allowed. Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're looking for people to join our team as program audio producers, responsible for podcasting Joy 94.9's diverse range of weekly programs. Get involved, meet new people, and learn new skills. Join the biggest community radio contributor of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels are welcome. No prior knowledge of audio production is required. Training is free for Joy members. Visit the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au for more info. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts. Any show, anytime, online, joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Daryl Summers. We love listening to Pets Allowed every Friday from noon.
Now we want you to take a look around. Are you currently sitting in a stuffy office staring at a glowing screen whilst you may be scoffing down your lunch? How many times have you gotten up to your desk since you got into work this morning?
Well, office workers, it's time to shake off the shackles of sedentary work with the return of the Lost Dogs Home Human Walking Program.
To tell us more about the program, we are joined on the line by Pets Allowed producer Oz, who is helping launch the event with plenty of office workers where they can be found right now. Oz, thanks for joining us on Pets Allowed.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. And tell us, where are you? What have you been doing this morning?
I'm certainly not in a stuffy office. I'm out on Spencer Street, right in front of the Age Building, the gorgeous lawn area there, where we have been in touch with so many sad office workers coming out of the building in need of a walk. So it's been brilliant.
Now, we understand there's a few maybe dogs there with you?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few dogs, and basically we're getting them, our shelter animals, to rescue office workers. So, you know, encouraging them to sort of break the shackles of sedentary work by going on for a walk with our shelter animals. Along with us here today, we've got Ranger, who is a 9-month-old Siberian Husky who's getting plenty of attention. We've got Lily. She's an English Pointer Cross. She's so smoochy. She's been kissing everybody. Wiggles, Nyx, who's about a year old. Like, as you can see, we've got a whole range of dogs here with us today, hanging out with office workers.
Yeah, a real mix of dogs. That's really great to hear.
Oz.
Yeah, that's all right.
Attracting worldwide attention, the first human walking program in April this year was launched in a bid to encourage healthy living with an adopted companion animal. Why do you think it's an important initiative?
Guys, look, sedentary work has some really serious health implications, and by doing this program, we've basically linked two really important things together, you know, being healthy, but also considering your next pet to be from a shelter, so encouraging adoption. So it's just been this terrific marriage, and, you know, meeting people today as well, they're sort of reinforcing the benefits, the health benefits of actually owning a dog and knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, they've got to go home and get out for a walk, you know, and get some fresh air with their dog. So, yeah, we've had a few people consider adopting. They've actually taken down some of the ID numbers of the dogs that have been here with us today. And very surprisingly, we came across a dog that was previously adopted from the shelter.
Oh, wow. Oh. So you actually met one.
Yeah, we met Ari, who was adopted in 2011. And she was just in town with her owner. They were having lunch, and they strolled over when they saw a big banner to say hi. And, yeah, we got some photos. And, yeah, it was really brilliant. And her owner, just could not talk more about the benefits of adopting, and they've been ambassadors of adoption ever since they adopted Ari. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So today's the launch. When is the next human walking program?
People, get out your diaries, get out Outlook diary, and pencil in or lock in this date. It is the 21st of November, so next Friday we'll be at Treasury Gardens from 12 to 2 p.m. With, I think, up to about 12 dogs.
There'll be quite a few. There'll also be some adopted and adored ambassadors as well. So dogs to meet who will be showing you some of their tricks and maybe some dog dancing from little Cinder and Sprocket. Cinder's sister Stella is going to be there as well, I think. So,
Yeah. So do not fear if you've missed out on today's event. The actual one's taking place next Friday from 12.
Thank you so much, Oz, for joining us on the program today. We'll see you back in the office.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Now, seeing as we have Dr. Alan Bolton in the studio, there's, you know, good idea to get some questions going, don't you reckon, Alan?
That's fine by me.
Now, we've had one from Kylie from Brunswick East who said they're moving house next week from an apartment into a house. Bowie is their cat and they'll be staying at her partner's parents' house whilst they move, so he's not too stressed over by the move. He's only ever been an indoor cat, but they are going to have an outdoor area. Is it safe to transfer him into an indoor and outdoor cat, or is it best to continue to just take him outside on a harness and keep him indoor only?
It's really up to them. It's perfectly safe to transition him to be an indoor-outdoor cat. I suppose how much time he ends up staying outside will absolutely depend on his personality. Some indoor cats have no interest in going out whatsoever. They just feel much safer indoors, whereas others love it. Once you move, I would keep him indoors for the first 3 or 4 weeks, just so that he gets used to his new indoor environment.
His indoor GPS.
Yes, and feels comfortable there. And when you first allow him to get out, it's a good idea to supervise him. Perhaps let him go out when he's hungry, and that way he's less likely to wander off. And before he starts to go out, it's a good idea to teach him how to come when he's called. That way it's easy to get him back. So a lot of people don't think about that with cats, but cats are actually really trainable.
Yeah, they are.
My cat, I just shout his name and he just appears.
And usually it's when they're hungry because they come in for dinner time as well.
So I get treats just like with dogs, and you can train them to do that when they're inside.
It's also important to check your local council regulations in terms of when your cat needs to be inside as well, Alan.
Yes, because a lot of councils have night curfews for cats, so you have to get them in at night, hence the training. And I would certainly advise, even if there isn't a curfew, keep him indoors at night, just because he's less likely to get into fights, perhaps be hit by a car, just get into trouble generally, and it saves wildlife. So that's mainly it. The only other thing would be if there are lots of other cats in the area, and if he hasn't already been vaccinated against it, I would consider vaccinating him against FIV, just to make sure that he doesn't pick that up. And that's quite a long process. It's 3 vaccinations with 2 weeks between each one, so you need to plan that.
So have a look into that now. Look, if you have a question for Dr. Alan Bolton, you can send us an email at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can find all our contact information on our Joy program page as well.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Dean Beck, breaking the big stories important to you. Be a part of the conversation. Join me on the line every Thursday from noon for the latest news, views, interviews and opinion. It's the essential current affairs of our community.
Hi, I'm Chris Furno from Joy's member services team. Joy is a unique volunteer radio station. We deliver radio with passion. Our purpose is to entertain and educate, to provide a voice for our diverse gay and lesbian communities, and to celebrate our culture, achievements and pride 24 hours a day. 365 days a year. We do this only with your support. Plus, you can have a voice in the direction of the station. Help keep Joy on air and be a part of our vibrant family with a Joy membership. Join now via our secure online payment link at joy.org.au or phone 1300-JOY-949.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Don't forget, we did mention that human walking program, which is coming up next week. It is at Treasury Gardens in the Melbourne City, Friday, November 21st from 12 to 2. It is a free event, but donations are always welcome. And Alan, on Sunday the 30th of November...
That's right, that's 2 weekends away. Banyul City Council are hosting a companion and animal microchipping day at Ivanhoe Town Hall, 275 Upper Heidelberg Road, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's $25 for a microchip. Bookings close 3 p.m. Friday the 28th of November, and you need to book that on www.petregister.com.
Don't forget, we do podcast the show, so if you missed anything, you can check that out on our Joy program page at joy.org.au. Thank you to Alan for joining me in the studio, for lovely Reverend Joy Etwell for joining us from the Spirit Lounge. And just quickly, our pet of the week was the lovely Buckley.
Our 4-year-old Jack Russell, ID number 937580.
You've been tuned in to Pets Allowed. Don't forget to walk your dogs
and pet your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.